Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, August 29th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with the UW-Madison Division of Extension. Right now, we have with us in studio Nathan Black, PhD, district administrator with the School District of Nakusa. Nathan, always good to see you. Thanks for being here, sir.
Oh, thanks. It was a pleasure being here last year, and I'm excited to come back. This has been great.
Nathan, if you could get a little closer to the mic, I want to make sure the audience hears
Makes sense. Okay.
We got good stuff to talk about today, sir. So I appreciate the time, as always. And I do want to start off thanking you and your team and all the good work that you do for our kids in that community. You are literally impacting the future, helping our future be better, and we appreciate it so much, sir.
Well, thank you. Again, over the course of last year, I've really learned that I am sort of, a lot of people come to me with the compliments that the work that led to those compliments are being done people I'm working alongside. So It really is a joint effort. I'd have to say in this first year that I've been, now starting my second year as superintendent, one of the real things that I've learned is I'm grateful to be around people that don't let me fall too far when I trip. But really just to recognize, this first year I've spent a lot of time really just trying to understand what are we doing, what's the impact, where's that coming. And I've been in the district, this is my 17th year in the district, and I've had my eyes open to some really phenomenal work that's happening. And it's just sort of fun to be in a spot to share that further. But again, I'm taking credit for other people's work, and it's just phenomenal stuff that's going on.
It's a team effort, and it really shows, and we'll get into that actually a little bit more later. But I want to start with Nakusa just had their open house. How did that go?
Yeah, yesterday, so we had for all of our three building. So it was a fun day. The big thing is, though, I've been in all summer long, the building's been empty. It's been just too quiet. You know, you need to have that noise. You need to have that energy, you know, and let's be granted, there's always a little more optimism in August than there is in February.
True.
Let's be clear about that one. But it was just fun to be able to see the parents, being able to see the students, and just sort of saying, okay, what am I going to be this year? And we had all three of our building open houses on the same day. And so many times I was moving between all buildings all day, and I saw the same families in many cases with a different hat on and sort of, but it's fun to, well, I've been at Nakusa long enough that I know most of those. It was kind of fun to come up to the fourth graders who were starting up at our Alexander Middle School, and a couple of them says, "What? You're here too?" And I'm like, yeah, you're not getting away from me that easy just by moving buildings.
Yeah.
But it was fun to see. It's fun to see the growth and just sort of see where the kids are. In many cases, they're bigger. Emotionally, that's going to happen. You don't see that as easily, but you know, it's just fun to watch growth, and that's what we're about. Why we're in education, and you just physically see that on a day like an open house.
Whether it's my nephews or my godkids, or it's some of the kids that we have here, they come in and they're here 1 year to talk about a play, and they come back next year to talk about another play, and the way that they just shoot up. Like, you think you get used to this, the way kids just grow overnight the way they do and stuff and get so much bigger, but it's always one of the best parts, I think, of this job. And really, I imagine yours and others is just seeing these kids grow, get better, get more confident in their own skin, and just enjoying the school year. I'm sorry, did you
No, and just in that note, it's just like I can think of over and over again about it. It was fun watching and interacting with some of the people who are now juniors and seniors, and I'm like, hey, I remember working with you as a fifth grader. And, you know, this, you're showing me some things that weren't on the bingo card at that time.
Right.
And
right.
It's kind of see where you went with this. And I can sort of see where the seeds of that came, but it's just, you really have to, growth takes time. And taking the long view of things is just, it's exciting to really just watch it pop off the page. And that's exciting when you're working with that next fifth grader who might be sort of being, you know, very 11 at that day as well.
Looking forward to talking about a unique conversation that you had with some fellow people in the Nakusa area. Before we get to that, though, we are beginning a new school year. How are things going so far over there with everybody setting up and getting ready? How are the teachers, everybody feeling about the new school year?
There's a lot of excitement about it. Again, a lot of newness, as with many school districts. We had a number of teachers who retired this past year, and so our turnover was larger than it was in normal years as a result of that. And so there's a lot of new faces and we had our new teachers back a week previously to be able to sort of be in the buildings, and we've been working with them over the course of the summer. And it's just, there's a lot of, anytime you something new, you're sort of walking slowly, and you're saying, okay, I think this is going to work, it's going, am I flying, you know, stuff like that. But it's the overall thing of this, there's real excitement. I just actually left talking with the middle school principal, and he's just excited for the energy that's back in the buildings, the you know, and just across the board, that there's real hope of the things that we're sort of leaning into. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd say for me personally, now coming into the second year, what was tough in year one, and I was talking with a lot of teachers who were first-year teachers last year, as I was first-year superintendent, we felt like we were sort of, I was just noting, we're comparing notes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first year, you have to think your way through situations, and you have there's a few more instincts that you have that you can sort of work through, and it just, there's less going, there's so, one of the things about teaching profession is that you have to make so many decisions per day. And actually, I think they've done some studies that it's comparable to brain surgeons.
Yeah.
One of the few.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Some of the few professions where you have to think so much. And like, you'll walk out at the end of the day and, you know, your head feels a little bit like oatmeal and before you sort of come that back. But it's a lot, it's just a lot more settled and a lot more, the relationships are that much better going into the second year. And so it's nice to just work from a place of working with people instead of always introducing yourself as much.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's, and across the board, that's really been, that's the natural growth process, and it's fun to be further down that continuum.
It's really good to hear. You know, Nathan, one of the things that I think that stands out, not only in doing this job and getting to talk to a lot of principals, a lot of superintendents over the years, a lot of teachers over the years, is how unique every school district is. And how every area is. Every zip code is different. Every school district is different. And how you approach these things are different. And one of the things that I think is even just as cool as that to me is the way locally so many people realize that in your industry and work to work with families, work with communities to make our schools and our kids as strong as possible. And you guys did something unique over the summer. You built a community conversation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. So this was coming at the back half of last year. We actually started this process right around January or so of last year, is that we had in April, we basically had an open invitation over 3 days to be able to work with our community, to be able to understand, okay, where have we been? What are the things we called it celebrating our past, embracing our future, and
that's
just
good.
Getting an idea of where have we been as a district? What are the main issues in education? What's it look like now? And we tried to have as wide a spread of people in the room as possible. We ended up with 90 plus.
Nice.
And we met at the Nakusa Community Center, and over 3 days, again, this is a big, we had students, we had Nakusa graduates, we had teachers, we have administrators, we have business owners, we had the local civic leaders, and
a little bit of everybody.
And we tried to get a lot of parents, basically try to get diversity about saying, okay, there's a lot, what's your current experience with schools? Where have we been over the last several years? But what do you want it to be? What are the, and so like some activities we did is we sort of talked about mads, sads, and glads. You know, what are the things that, you know, sort of, let's be real about it. Where are we at? What are we sitting? What are some of the issues that are facing in school? But through that process, we sort of worked forward to be able to identify, what are we going to build ourselves that the students that are currently in our schools, when they walk across that graduation stage, what are they going to bring with them into the real world? What's their role and how we've prepared them for it? So be really, and so some of the, as we're walking out of that end, we ended up with a list of priorities and saying, okay, here's our, and we voted on them, and we tallied the votes about what are higher priorities than others. Mm-hmm. And so sort of coming out of that, some of the main priorities that we've really been leaning into in over the course is there, as with many school districts, just there's been a lot of issues about behavioral. Mm-hmm. Sometimes disruptions happen in the school year. I think that anybody listening to this who knows students in schools, that there's been an upswing across the nation. And what are we doing to be able to support that? I'd have most of our summer with our administrative team was making sure we're doing things on the same page. The mandate we have coming out of the community conversations is people wanted to know, we want safety, we want it to be effective, and we want consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so really making sure that we're doing this, and so we shifted to be able to have one behavioral plan for the entire district, not just building by building as we had in the past. Last Wednesday, we shared what that plan was with the community. We invited them back and sort of said, okay, here's our plan, here's what it is, What do you think? Help us understand, because there's, in some case, we want you to understand how we're approaching when behavioral challenges arise, but also understand that, you know, there are, let's give as much transparency as we can. You know, there's always a frustration with that if there's something, when behavior challenges are there, some people want to know everything that was involved, and there's certain things that you have to, their privacy, and we can only share so much. So we want to make sure that we're going to share as much as we can at the front end to help people understand the process, to be able to help build understanding and trust, and being able to have consistency among ourselves to be able to have the best approach.
Yeah.
And so that has been a major focus that was coming out of the community conversations. And so that's where we spent a lot of our time, or a lot of our resources, to be able to build those things up.
Yep. Were there other highlights, other noteworthy things that came from the meetings outside of that?
Right. And again, that was probably the discussion centered on that one with a bullet. So I gave
it. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Decided to lead with that one. But no, a lot of the areas are, what are we doing to be able to increase academic achievement? Again, these continued. A student who is struggling academically oftentimes would rather be seen as a troublemaker than stupid. And how can we do
it? I'm raising my hand right now, everybody. I was that kid. Yes. Yeah.
Right. So, but. And again, they're not stupid. They're not. They've got the skills to do it. But mm-hmm. what we have to look at are. And so we've spent a lot of time really identifying. Okay, how can we be able to meet people where they're at? Help them build that confidence. Help them grow. And so raising academic expectations and is tied to the process of raising behavioral expectations. Those work hand in hand. One of the other things that really came out that in understanding the issues is there is huge concern with mental health issues and how much our families, our students are hurting and just trying to work with things. And that's sort of the underlying reasons that we're also seeing an upswing in so many behavioral areas. And so how much is our approach of working at being sensitive and working at the root causes mm-hmm. of what are helping people understand, get better. And so when we have behavioral challenges or even academic challenges, it's because you don't have the skills necessary to meet expectations. But the business of schools is teaching skills.
Yeah.
And so the process is, let's identify the skills that you need, behavioral, academic, you name it. We basically set that up to say that, okay, how do we go about doing this?
Mm-hmm. First off, kudos to you and your team and everybody doing something like this. Just doing something like this like that alone is noteworthy, and I think should be not only celebrated, but more communities need to do. And it's a fantastic idea, and it's so good to hear the great response you got, the amount of people that showed up. That is a wonderful thing. There's another layer to this, too, of whether there were kids there seeing this or not, moms and dads or anybody telling their kids, hey, I'm going to this meeting. I'm going to this community thing. We're going to talk about the school system. We're going to talk about this. So kids seeing their parents involved in this, engaged in this, seeing this, not only is it hopefully, confidence building for them that, oh, mom and dad care and seeing that, but also, again, the whole job of all of this that we're all doing here as adults, whether you're a teacher or not, is to be an example to kids and give them something to inspire to build to see adults are talking and conversating, maybe debating, but still treating each other like adults. Kids seeing this, kids hearing about this, it's just an extension of what you do at the schools. So that part is very noteworthy, too, I think, as well. But with the first part of what you were talking about, this is something I know a little bit about as a former knucklehead. I was, and I wholeheartedly own that. And I've talked to some of my former teachers and principals about this before and everything and where I was. And I remember when I was at Washington School, Mr. Orlowski. I remember at Lincoln High School, Mr. Mancuso. I got in trouble once, and I had to go to Mr. Mancuso's office. And it's just him and I. And he shuts the door, and he looks at me. And this is about the third time I've been in his room. And he doesn't berate me. He doesn't punish me. He asked me why. Asked me why I was doing what I was doing. And it blew my mind. Nobody had ever asked me that. I hadn't even thought about that. And it immediately changed the course of things for me. I wasn't perfect after that. I was no saint or anything. And it still took me some time to get to where I am now. But that opened the door for me to realize this adult cares. This adult is showing interest in me. I'm not just a number. I'm not just another student in this big school here and everything. He actually gives a darn. And that goes so much farther than we could ever put into words to kids. I will use the example of Sheriff Becker and having him in and him talking about, hey, we want to stop this revolving door of crime. we're going to start asking people why they stole that loaf of bread. Not just punishing them, but why did you do it? And sure enough, he does something like that. We see our numbers go down. We see repeated criminals go down. It goes so much farther than we realize. Just simply communicating, just simply talking to, whether it's a kid or it's a parent or something like that. This is part of why I commend this so much, is because I know for a fact the difference it can make in a community.
Thank you. And the process is, setting healthy boundaries is extremely healthy. And that is, we have to understand where people are coming from. I heard research recently that gravitated to me. It said that the way that we talk to children becomes their own self-talk. We have to be able to, and as a parent, that one really hit me hard.
Mm-hmm.
And
me too.
So we're saying, okay, how much are my children self, like you said, your area, if you're asking them why, if you're trying to understand, that many cases, they don't know themselves. You know, they're figuring, we're giving them past, if you put it into words, it starts to become manageable. Now, that said, sometimes that conversation doesn't really happen unless there's also some boundaries that you're setting, that this is not going to stop. We're not going to be doing this anymore, but let's go ahead now. What's next?
Yeah.
And just, there has to be a response. There needs mm-hmm. to be actions that are taken, but part of those actions have to be in such a way that you're getting less recidivism, that you're getting less repeat, that's how you build the skills of recognizing, what am I trying to be? Who am I being?
Yeah.
And those conversations get real at times.
Yeah.
But I appreciate, it's fun to, I've seen over and over those students who they become, that it's not just academically, but I see that student then being more sensitive, and that becomes a resource.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the kids who I'm working alongside to be able to be a mentor to somebody else later on.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just it's trite to say it takes a community, but it really takes open and hard conversations, but healthy ones, to be able to, among the community, among the students, among the staff. And as with anybody, we're 100%. We're not there 100%. And we're never. It's a process of really building trust with each other to be able to get there. But that's a fun road to walk.
Punishment or accountability without conversation, it falls flat. You got to have accountability. You messed up. You did something wrong. There's a punishment for that. But we need to talk about it too, not just the punishment. It's such a unique thing, and it's wonderful to see this happening more and more in our society. We're speaking with Nathan Black, District Administrator with School District of Nacoosa. And Nathan, wanted to ask it real quick before we get to another topic. Will you guys be doing more of these community outreach kind of thing, kind of town hall sort of meetings?
Right. And so certainly the plan is we're going to do those down the years as mm-hmm. How's it coming and we're going to need to update this eventually. Mm-hmm. But what we're doing is for the next few years, a lot of them, we're going to be giving out reports. One of the things that, based on these priorities we have gotten the same group who helped us organize this together has come together and built a strategic plan about what we're going to do. And we're identifying what are the major focuses that we're going to put our time, our money, our efforts into. And those are things that we're going to report out to the community on a regular basis. Here's the numbers. Here's what we're doing. Here's how the response is. When it comes to issues, like I mentioned, this one that we shared our behavioral plan and then brought people together.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do similar things on other areas, case by case. Like another area of focus that's developing over the course of the next year is, how do we build readiness for the future? How do we help our students not just hear about what's next career-wise, but how can we help them experience it? How can we find places for them to do shadowing? How can we bring community members into our schools? That's not necessarily an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
But that process is, as we take a piece, we're going to invite more community members to sort of, the same people who are invested enough to help drive these changes are helping us get people involved to be able to make the next ones. And so it's a lot of times that the work is difficult to do just because you don't know where to start. But probably one of my most exciting thing coming out of this as part of the follow-up is we built several connections about people who we know who are engaged and want these things to happen. And let's work alongside and find out what the answer is together, because independently, we don't have enough pieces of the jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
But finding those together and finding ways that match really help quite a bit. If I can just give an example of that one. So for example, recently our tech ed program we have been doing a lot of investment in 3D printing. Mm-hmm. And right now, actually, a really exciting shout out is that in our starting in grades 6, 7, and 8, all of our students are starting to work with Tinkercad, AutoCAD, wow. Some things to do some designing and 3D printing. Our middle school lab has 20 3D printers in it right now. That every student who's in there is going to be able to design and do something with their own printer and to work right off of that.
Wow.
But we didn't leave it there. Our tech ed teachers have been meeting together with local businesses who are sort of identifying it. And you start them at sixth grade, but let's keep that builds out into high school and keeps one growing on the other. But connecting with other areas, how does this look like in business? How can we go ahead? And he's bringing problems from the businesses into the classes and saying, okay, here's how you do it. So you build confidence, you build skills, but then you build real world context to it. Mm-hmm. And those conversations are happening one at a time. And the businesses are supporting and help. And those type of level of conversations, there's have to be develop organically. But if you're asking the right questions and you're leaning in the right areas, that stuff happens and it's fun to watch.
You make me want to go back to school, Nathan. Make me want to go back. To throw back real quick, when I first moved to this area, the first school I went to in Wisconsin was Humpke. That area has I have a lot of love for that area, the Nakusa area. And I appreciate not only the work that you and your team are doing over there, but I feel that there's such a bright, beautiful future in that area when it comes to especially our education system. It's great work, Nathan. Thank you so much for the time. If people have follow-up questions, they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do that?
Well, certainly, if you go to our website, nakusasd.net, that's a lot of these things are sort of an entryway. But the big thing is, if you want to reach out, email, phone call, talk to somebody. We'll find a way to get you in touch with somebody who's excited to work alongside you.
Appreciate the time, as always, sir. And we'll talk again real soon.
Okay, thank you.
That website again, nakusaad.net, nakusasd.net. Yes, yeah, there we go. Sorry about that. Be sure to check that out, bookmark that webpage, and reach out to Nathan and his team with any questions you have. We will take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on Midday Magazine here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.